Thank you, Brother Steve. I too wish to welcome you all here this morning, and again, especially you mothers. I look out and I see some beautiful mothers out there sporting your corsages and smiles on your face, and this is your day. This is your day. But you know, it's a shame that you only get one day a year, because you deserve so much more. You deserve so much more than just this one day. And I want to say to the young people out there, I want to tell you to get to know your mothers. And you say to me, well, Frank, my gosh, I live with her. I should know her. But living with a person doesn't really make you know them. Get to know their likes and their dislikes. Get to know their favorite colors and their favorite flowers. It's amazing how close you can come to someone by just getting to know them. I'm going to start off this morning by reading a poem. Now, after I get through, don't everybody get up and leave, because I usually end by a poem. And if you come this morning expecting a traditional Mother's Day sermon, you will not be disappointed. A mother's love is like an island in life's ocean, vast and wide. A peaceful, quiet shelter from the restless rising tide. A mother's love is like a fortress, and we seek protection there when the waves of tribulation seem to drown us in despair. A mother's love's a sanctuary where our souls can find sweet rest from the struggle and the tension of life's fast and futile quest. A mother's love is like a tower rising far above the crowd, and her smile is like the sunshine breaking through a threatening cloud. A mother's love is like a beacon, burning bright with faith and prayer. And through the changing scenes of life, we can find a haven there. For a mother's love is fashioned after God's enduring love. It is endless and unfailing, like the love of him above. For God knew in his wisdom that he couldn't be everywhere. So he put his little children in a loving mother's care. In Proverbs, the 31st chapter, the first verse of that chapter tells us that this prophecy was given to King Lemuel by his mother. And I want to start reading with the 10th verse of this 31st chapter. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships, and she bringeth food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good, her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry, her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She opened her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and needeth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up. Call her blessed. Her husband also. And he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. We all grew up under the rule of a mother. Proverbs says, my son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. And some of us weren't able to really appreciate that training that we received at our mother's hand. We never took the time to praise her when we could. We never took the time to thank her for all of the things that she has done for us. We never took the time to really get to know the heart and the soul of our mothers. Because looking therein, we can also get a glimpse of the heart and soul of God. Proverbs also says, hearken unto thy father that beget thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. What is it that sets mothers apart? Fathers love their children. Fathers are concerned also But deep down, believe me, they don't have that same concern, that same feeling, and that same love that a mother has for her offspring. They have concern for a child's health. They're concerned when they're sick and when they're afflicted and when they're not feeling up to par. And they worry over them. And they fret over them. When I was young, I had a very serious illness. And I can remember my mother sitting by my bed when I was unable to speak. Helping me when I couldn't draw a breath because I was choking. Helping me to move my head because it was paralyzed from polio. And I'm sorry to say that I really never took the time to thank her. I really never even thought about it until it was too late and my mother was gone. So don't let that happen to you. When I was young, I thought my mother would live forever. I thought she would always be around to comfort me. She died when I was 18 years old. Don't wait to honor your mother. Don't put it off until it is too late. A mother has concern for their children's safety. How many times have you heard the mother say, "Don't go near the street. You might get hit by a car. Be careful when you go out the door. Be careful at this. Be careful at that." I always thought myself, "Well, my gosh, Mom, I'm not going to go out and hurt myself on purpose." But they have a built-in concern for the safety of their offspring. They have a concern for their appearance. They care what you look like. One of my mother-in-law's favorite sayings was when her children were growing up, was, "Would I let you go out looking bad?" I heard her say that to almost every one of the daughters. They were concerned about their appearance. And of course, they have a worry about the child's friends, who they're associating with. What type of an individual is my son going to be with tonight? Or what's more, I wonder what type of an individual my daughter is going to marry. They're concerned about their companions. They're concerned about their friends. And they have a concern that they are preparing them spiritually. I can almost assure you that when a young child first goes to Sunday school, it's the mother who takes him by the hand and takes him there. Or the first thing that they learn about God, Jesus, or the Bible is from their mother. You know, you hear about ministers like me that have an impact upon people. Let me tell you, we don't even scratch the surface of the impact that is upon the children by their mothers when they are young. Because how they are taught then, how they are guided then, sets them in the course that's almost unchangeable in later years. What a responsibility you mothers have. What a responsibility. And they would give up everything for their children. Everything. Home, house, life, to protect their children. What a marvelous love that these mothers have. And then lastly, they can forgive. They have that ability to forgive their children almost anything. How bad they are. What terrible things they've done, they're still their little boy or their little girl. And they have a capacity, a Christ-like capacity, to forget all of the bad things that their children do and forgive them and put that out of their mind. Yes, mothers have that ability to show and to feel deep love for their offsprings. And we can look at these things that I've talked about a mother's love, and see that same kind of love in our God, that same thing that He has for you and I, His children. God also has a concern for our health, just as a mother has a concern for her offspring's health. Over in James, very well-known scripture that's been read many times from this pulpit. In the 5th chapter of James, it says, starting with the 13th verse, guess I should get to James and we'll be all right. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Yes, they shall be healed. The book of Mark, talking about these same things, says that they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. There are many, many stories in the Bible that shows that Jesus was concerned about the health of those around him. One of my favorites is the story about the woman with the issue of blood. Who knew that if she could just touch the hem of his garment, that she would be healed. And if you can picture this in your minds, the throng that was around Jesus as he was walking down the byway. And you can imagine this woman fighting her way through this crowd, just reaching and trying to reach the hem of his garment and finally succeeding. She reached out and was able to touch. And Jesus at that time said he felt. He felt that touch. And he turned to her and blessed her and told her she was healed and told her about the great faith that she had. He had a concern for the health of his people. And God is also so concerned about our safety, just as mothers are concerned about the safety of their children. God says he's going to prepare a place, and that place is going to be called Zion. And Zion is going to be prepared for protection, for a place of safety, a place where we, who are true believers in Jesus Christ, can go and find that safety there. Bible says the nations will say, let us not go up against Zion. Why? Because the Lord is with them. The Lord is with them. Because he's concerned about the safety of his people. He knows that in these latter days things are going to get bad. He knows that the economy is going to fail. He knows there's going to be more and more and more violence in the streets. And he wants to protect those who say, I am Christ. Those who obey the commandments and take upon them Christ-like life. God also cares about our appearance. We are told in the Bible to dress moderately. And also in 1 Timothy, we're told that to adorn ourselves in modest apparel. Not to dress flashily. Not to dress extravagantly. We're also told in the Bible that the birds in the air and the flowers of the fields, they don't care how they're adorned. And yet the flowers of the fields, it says, are more beautiful than all of the cloaks and clothes of Solomon. He's concerned about our appearance. We're told in another place in the Bible that we should take on a Christ-like appearance. And that Christ-like appearance is not from the clothes that we wear, but from the countenance that we have about ourselves. That radiant look that you can see in someone who believes and follows Jesus Christ. I'd like to turn over to Thessalonians. In the 5th chapter, starting with the 14th verse, it says, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak. Be patient towards all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesying. prove all things, hold fast that which is good. And then it says, abstain from all appearance of evil. That's a commandment. And God is concerned about our appearing evil. And God, like mothers, also worry about who our friends are. The fifth chapter, starting at the ninth verse, it says, I wrote unto you an epistle, not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. But now I have written unto you not to keep company, if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such a one know not to eat. For what I have told, what I have to do to judge them also that are without. Do not they judge them that are within? But them that are without, God judges. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. And how many times when you were growing up, you that are older, did your mother tell you, you're judged by the company you keep? I heard that all the time because I kept bad company. And my mother knew it. And she tried to change me by pointing out the fact that the company I was keeping was going to get me in trouble. And let me tell you, young people, something. The peer pressure is terrible. The peer pressure is much stronger than that pressure that is applied by your parents. So watch the friends that you run with. Make sure that they're the same, that the same ideals, the same beliefs, the same morals that you have been taught to hold. 2 Thessalonians says, if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. And I've heard a lot of times this. In fact, I heard it from one of my kids when they were growing up, and we were talking about the company they kept, and this one told me, well, I'm going to bring him up to my level. That very seldom works. More than likely, you'll be brought down to theirs. And God gave us the Bible and the Book of Mormon and Latter-day Revelations to show us that He's concerned about our spirituality. The same way that mothers have taught their children from time on time, because they're concerned also for their spirituality. And He gave these scriptures to us not to set on the shelves to gather dust, but to be picked up and read and studied, that we may know those things that God concerns, that has concerns us. Those things that we need to know to be able to qualify ourselves for God's kingdom. Coming to church and Sunday school on Sunday morning and coming to church, preaching service on Sunday night, prayer service on Wednesday evening, I can assure you, you will not learn enough by just listening. You need to study. And now I'm not only talking to the children and to the mothers, I'm talking to everyone here in this room this morning. Pick up your Bible. Pick up your Book of Mormon. Pick up Latter-day Revelations. Read what's there. Study what's there. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved. And Christ gave up His life for us. He also was concerned enough about you and I, about His children, that He would give up everything. And that included His life. And God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Yes, mothers have this special kind of love for their children. And God commandeth us to have that kind of love also one for another. I seen a sign that said, give God your precious time and not your spare time. And I think that's one of the things that sets mothers apart. They give of their precious time to their children. God gives of His precious time to you and I. And we need to take some of this precious time that we have and give it back to God. In 1 John, the 4th chapter, starting with the 7th verse, it says, beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also love one another. And God, like mothers, has that capacity for forgiveness. Each one of us here this morning needs forgiveness. Each one of us here this morning has fallen short of the glory of God. Each one of us here this morning has something in our lives that we need to put behind us to be able to come a step closer to Jesus Christ. But God in His wisdom gave us that beautiful gift. And that gift is that if we get down on our knees and ask forgiveness of our Heavenly Father, He gives. He forgives. It's like we never did it. It's like we never did it. In the Book of Mormon, on page 768. Starting with the 50th verse, it says, and if a man be meek and lowly in heart, and confesses by the power of the Holy Ghost that Jesus is the Christ, he must needs have charity. For if he have not charity, he is nothing. Wherefore, he must needs have charity. And charity suffereth long and is kind, and envieth not. And is not puffed up, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, and rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, it hopeth all things, endureth all things. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, if ye have not charity, you are nothing. For charity never faileth. Wherefore, cleave unto charity, which is the greatest of all. For all things must fail. But charity is the pure love of Christ, and it endureth forever. And whoso is found possessed of it at the last day, it shall be well with them. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, pray unto the Father with all the energy of heart, that ye may be filled with this love which hath bestowed upon all who are the true followers of his Son, Jesus Christ, that ye may become like the sons of God, that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, that we may have this hope, that we may be purified even as he is pure. I believe that you mothers in the audience this morning kind of have a leg up on the rest of us, because I believe that through motherhood you possess that charity, that pure love of Christ. And I believe that you show it. You show it daily by the love that you have for your children. I'm going to close with a poem again. It's entitled God's Masterpiece. I fancy that when God looked down upon the things he'd done, the verdant earth restlessly, the brilliant moon and sun, these things are good, then said our God, but far are they from best. I'll place on earth my masterpiece far greater than the rest. I'll give to man a gift that's rare and one that he can love. A gift direct from heaven sent, and like the things above. A gift that is my greatest gift, excelling any other. I'll give to every man the joy of having there a mother. So spake our God, and so it seemed to me these things he said. It may be just an idea I've gotten in my head. But this I know without a doubt. I've known a mother's love. And it surpasses any else save that from God above. Thank you.
Thank you, Frank. Forgot just one announcement, and that's that our brother Sam will be the preacher